540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Closing arguments are underway now in Alec Murdoch's high-profile double murder trial in South Carolina. CBS's Jim Krasula has the latest.
The jury visited the crime scene outside Walterboro, South Carolina, before closing arguments started in Alec Murdoch's trial. The disgraced and disbarred lawyers accused of fatally shooting his wife and a son at their home in 2021, prosecutor Creighton Waters.
He was a person of singular prominence and respect in this community. But he's also a person who's been able to avoid accountability for all of his life.
Murdoch faces nearly 100 criminal charges related to drugs and financial wrongdoing. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
The nation's fentanyl crisis is front and center today on Capitol Hill as a House panel discusses how to stop its deadly grip here in the U.S. Retired DEA agent Derek Maltz says the White House needs to make it a priority.
Where the hell is the Department of Education? Where are the public service announcements? Why can't the White House team up with professional athletes and celebrities to get video reels to the kids on social media? Because that's what they'll see.
He says the military could also crack down on the drug at the border. The federal government is ending a pandemic-era provision that offered extra money for food for low-income Americans. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
These so-called SNAP benefits are ending just as food prices soar. Shopper Susie McQuillan in Boston.
I don't think it's right. The price of food and everything's gone up. I just spent $100. I barely got anything.
Typical food aid benefits will drop by more than $80 per person. As many as 30 million Americans will feel the pinch.
A new report deals a new blow to victims of so-called Havana syndrome. CBS's Steve Dorsey has details.
It's unlikely American officials in Havana, Cuba, and elsewhere around the world were attacked by a foreign adversary, according to new conclusions from U.S. intelligence agencies. It's at odds with earlier findings from scientists, doctors, and experts convened by intelligence agencies that have suggested a type of energy weapon could have been the culprit.
Attorneys for victims claim officials are hiding real findings from the public. It's almost cherry blossom time in D.C. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
It was 111 years ago when the mayor of Tokyo first gifted Washington, D.C. with 3,000 cherry blossom trees.
Mayor Muriel Bowser waiting to find out
when the peak bloom is.
Jeff Reinhold with the National Park Service with the answer.
And the projected dates are March 22nd. Through the 25th.
The festival will likely run through mid-April, a bit earlier than years past due to warmer winter. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Shared revenue will go up. Governor Evers making the pledge on Tuesday to the Counties Association that counties and municipalities will finally get the resources they need. The governor's budget devotes 20% of Wisconsin's sales tax to funding shared revenue, increasing local government funding by more than $500 million annually. The budget would also allow Milwaukee County to impose an additional 1% sales tax, with half of that new money distributed to the city of Milwaukee. Other counties and cities with populations over 30,000 could also impose an additional 0.5% sales tax if approved by referendum under the governor's proposal, but the Republican co-chairs of the budget committee say they won't support any new taxes. Be careful on the ice. In some parts of Wisconsin, deadlines to remove ice shanties from lakes gets underway today. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome. Happy Wednesday here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon in Brian's absence by William Walter. Will, how you doing today, big guy?
I am always great. I cannot complain. Well, okay, that's not true. I most certainly could complain, but nobody cares. So I'm just going to pretend that I'm living the life.
You're going to keep those complaints to yourself. That's okay, though. But we're going to talk about some tangents here on Dueling Tangents, along with some headlines. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We got Evan on the board. E, hope your Wednesday is well.
Oh, buddy. Oh, man.
Same attitude as Will. You could complain, but not going to complain.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, I could complain. Well, I could, but who would listen?
We're going to put the big smiles on, but behind the smile, these eyes are just dead.
We are dead inside.
What? Yeah. Come on, guys. It is March 1st. It is a gorgeous day here in Wisconsin. Will did his magic, and we're going to talk about some headlines and tangents here. So very little to complain about, but... Let's kick it off. We'll get to some fun stories later, but this one, kind of the vegetables, the homework. There was an appearance by both Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates earlier today, Will, and I want to dive into the comments that they had at this appearance. 5 weeks from yesterday is the general election here for April 4th. We'll determine which one of these two candidates will have a 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the state's highest court. And are you shocked at all by any of the comments that came out today? We'll get to some of the top line ones, but were there any that caught your eye right off the bat?
Nothing surprises me at this point, except for the fact that the election is only 5 weeks away. Like, holy moly.
That's the only thing that surprises you?
We've been talking about how important this race is for months and months and months, and we knew that the time frame would be incredibly short. Election season, you know, protecting Wisconsin democracy is a 24/7 gig. We've talked about that point before, but man, 5 weeks already, and you know, we're gonna wake up tomorrow and it's gonna be election day.
Yeah, it's gonna be here before you know it, folks. And so if you do not have a plan to be a voter on April 4th, start thinking about it now. Absentee ballots will begin to go out, I believe, soon. I want to say it's about a month beforehand. You can start, you can already put your request in at myvote.wi.gov to receive your absentee ballot if you'd like to vote that way. In-person absentee voting will start 2 weeks before the April 4th election, so you can vote in person early through that. Or just make sure that you got time allotted on April 4th to go to the polls and be a participant in democracy during that election and help decide who will be the next state Supreme Court justice, either Janet Protasiewicz, Milwaukee judge, or former Justice Dan Kelly, who ran for a full 10-year term in 2020 but was defeated pretty handedly by Jill Karofsky.
A resounding defeat.
A resounding defeat, but he's going for it again, Will, and it'll be interesting to see. Some of the comments that came out from these two candidates before the Wisconsin Counties Association earlier today, and let's start off with Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Protasiewicz's comments, because this was probably the one that raised the biggest eyebrows for me, Will, is that she came out and said that she would recuse herself from cases brought before, if elected, she would recuse herself from cases brought before the Wisconsin Supreme Court by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin because of the amount of money the state party has put into her campaign. And so her quote, "I don't know that the public could really say she's fair when she's received $2.5 million from a particular entity," Protasiewicz said. Do you think that Dan Kelly would recuse himself the same way if the U-Lines brought a lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Oh, 100% he would not. In that regard, yeah, you're right. I definitely could have mentioned that as a quote that was surprising to me because it's refreshingly honest.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird to see someone being refreshingly honest in today's political climate. But like you said, you're 100% right. I highly, highly doubt Dan Kelly would do that because Dan Kelly himself said he could not commit to that. He said he would be making that decision on a case-by-case basis. I will look at the issues very closely in any case that would potentially implicate the Republican Party or anyone else who makes contributions.
And do you believe that he would, if elected, truly recuse himself in those instances? Or do you think that on a case-by-case basis, Dan Kelly would say, circumstance be damned, I'm going to rule because I'm a Supreme Court justice?
Oh, he would never recuse himself. That's why he says case-by-case basis, because it's a free out, right? Well, this isn't the right case to recuse myself. This is important.
I couldn't possibly recuse myself from this one. This one's far too important. I couldn't possibly recuse myself.
You need to understand, Luke, according to Kelly, quote, "the decision to recuse is an individual one," which means I have individually decided not to recuse myself.
Yeah.
He also says that one of the important things that we can be looking at as we look forward to this election is electing someone whose character you trust, and recusal is a matter of character. Yet he won't commit to recusing himself from.
He's just letting you know he's a little bit of a
who pays for him.
He's a case by case character. He's case by case, maybe shady, case by case, maybe not. And so it's definitely one of those. I think it's pretty on brand for Dan Kelly to just be like, on a case by case, I'll do that. But not surprising that he wouldn't commit to anything during that conversation with the Wisconsin Counties Association.
He did commit on Wednesday, Luke, to recusing himself from a case if his legal advice to Andrew Hitt, who was the former Republican Party of Wisconsin chairman, who, as you recall, was one of the leaders in
fraudulent electors
to organize a group of electors for President Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, gave legal advice to the Republican Party in their attempt to overturn the will of the Wisconsin voters. And he did say he'd recuse himself from any case if his legal advice to Hitt were part of the lawsuit. So I guess when he says case by case basis, what he really means is if I'm potentially liable legally, then I'll recuse myself, but otherwise
he'd find a way out of it. He'd find a way to not recuse himself if those circumstances came before the Wisconsin Supreme Court and he was the deciding vote on whether or not there would be accountability against those 10 fraudulent electors. Because there's no way that he's going to implicate himself for that $120,000 he was allegedly paid by the state party to consult on the legal framework for trying to get away with fraud. It's what it was. Those 10 individuals signed documents saying that the former president rightfully won the state's 10 electoral votes and sent them off to the Library of Congress to be counted in the Electoral Count Act. Like, it was a case of fraud, 10 cases of fraud to be exact, and there were other perpetrators in there. The now congressman, but then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald allegedly was the one that helped, or somebody in his office allegedly helped
schedule the room that these fraudulent electors met in at the state capitol on December 14th when this plot was unfolding. Brian Schimming, now the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, the state GOP, he played roles with it. We found out from the January 6th committee that there was conversations between Schimming and Hitt. And so, and now, Dan Kelly, this is the thing that Republicans in Wisconsin won't be able to get away from. And if you think that a case comes before the Wisconsin Supreme Court to hold those individuals accountable and Dan Kelly's on that court, there's no way in hell he's recusing himself. And so, yeah, he's going to leave it open to be a case-by-case basis so that he can wiggle out and when the time comes, still be on that Supreme Court if it were to unravel that way. But it'll be interesting.
He wouldn't
want
to pull a Hagedorn. What was the quote, Luke? some about pulling, like it was pulling a Hagedorn, which means like not being a party stooge.
Yeah, not towing the party line
as a Hagedorn.
Yeah, and one of the things of recent, he indicated that he would accept an endorsement from the former president Donald Trump in this process. Today, Will seemed a little bit more shaky on whether or not he would accept that endorsement. Interesting enough that he's trying to distance himself from the former guy now that he is the one of the two candidates moving on to the general in April.
This dude's a pancake. He's flip-flopping all over the place.
I think that's too kind of him. It's more of just like one of those flip-flops on your feet, just the ting-tong kind of flip-flop where it's just you get it from Old Navy for like $6 or whatever. That's more of what it is, not really a pancake. Pancakes are nice. I like pancakes.
I don't wear flip-flops, Luke. I'm a Crocs guy now.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a Birkenstock guy, but that's just my own preference now.
You put those Crocs in turbo mode, bro. You hook that back slap on. Oh, I'm ready to go. I'd run through a wall with those puppies on.
All right. There you go. That's your choice of footwear for the summer, huh? Well, we're getting closer to using them now that it's March 1st. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with Will and I, 844-967-2789. We got a number of other headlines that we're going to get to, but this one, dissecting these quotes from the state Supreme Court candidates is pretty interesting today. There were other individuals speaking, State Senator Devin LeMahieu, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, yesterday during the same similar meetings, the chiefs of staff of both those offices and the chief of staff for Governor Tony Evers were at these talks. And so a lot going on. We've got some updates about what may or may not be included in the upcoming state biennial budget. We also have a story surrounding a pretty interesting natural? I don't know if it's natural because they were bred in a lab, but we're going to get to the little fun story too, Will. But that one, I think we'll save for the end of the show. If you want to share a tangent with Will and I, 844-967-2789. But Will, you've seen those Milwaukee Bucks?
10-0 in the month of February, baby.
15 win game streak. It's keeping going, and so it's a lot of fun to watch them. But we'll try to make these political headlines as entertaining. But we got to eat our veggies too. Get the quotes in there, and we'll continue to talk about these stories. Take your tangents. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Stay tuned because we're gonna keep at it. We'll be right back. Despises, go ahead and criticize it. It's your tyranny that drives us as the fire to a flame, and it goes in one ear and right out the other. People talk of shit, but you know I never bother. It goes in one ear and right out the other. I'm only playing music, cause you know I love it. It goes in one ear and right out the other. People talk of shit, but
Thor, you know mighty God of thunder.
Who is this kid?
In my flippy floppies.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 29 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. We've got Evan on the board, you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789, discussing the two Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates that were before the Wisconsin Counties Association earlier today, sharing some remarks ahead of the spring general election that is coming up on April 4th. Go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about you becoming a voter and participating in democracy on April 4th. But these two candidates, outside of talking about recusals, which cases they may or may not recuse themselves for, will they also discuss the issue of abortion, which is going to be a focal point of this election, because in the coming months, there is an anticipated lawsuit that is working its way through the Wisconsin courts currently that may find itself before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and one of these two candidates may be the deciding vote on how that decision is decided by the state's highest court. And so even though she said she would recuse herself if elected, Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, said that she would not recuse herself from a case surrounding abortion, even though abortion advocate groups are maybe spending money on her behalf. And so she made it very clear that where her individual views are, but she said outside, like, those are my individual views. I will still rule on the law, and I'm not going to recuse myself from a case on that issue of this is where my personal stance is. And then, interestingly enough, the background of Dan Kelly, before he was appointed to the state's highest court back in 2016 by then-Governor Scott Walker, did legal consulting for Wisconsin Right to Life, one of the three anti-abortion groups here in Wisconsin. And can you believe it, Will? Funny enough, he can't recall the nature of the work that he did for that organization.
Crazy how that seems to work.
He just doesn't recall. It's very strange. Just maybe some selective memory. I don't know. But he declares that the stance that Judge Janet has made on her defending of women's rights it disqualifies her. She's projecting too many of her views. But then when asked about the work that he did on behalf of Wisconsin Right to Life, Dan Kelly's like, I don't remember. That's the best he can answer.
It's parody at this point. It's literally something I would expect from like a South Park episode where they'd have Kelly standing up on stage ranting for 30 seconds about how gross it is to allow my opponent to have their personal views impact their judicial rulings. And then someone would say, what about your personal views when you did this judicial ruling applied? And he would immediately deadpan and just be like, I don't recall. Like, you'd see that in, like, an early Simpsons season episode. Like, I can already picture the candidate doing it.
Yeah. It's almost comical. it seems like we should laugh about it because of how comical it is, but it is frustrating that to a lot of individuals out there, they're just going to accept that answer from a candidate for the state's highest court, for somebody that's vying for a 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that, oh, well, the information that I discussed with Andrew Hitt surrounding the fraudulent elector scheme, that's protected by attorney-client privilege. Can't talk about that. My past doing legal consulting for Wisconsin Right to Life, I just simply can't recall. I can't recall what
sees the point, Luke. We've talked about it before. Conservatism exists for one reason only. There's an in-group the law protects but does not bind, and an out-group that the law binds but does not protect. It reminds me of Donald Trump saying, only people who are guilty and mobsters plead the fifth. And then he went ahead and pled the fifth hundreds and hundreds of times. It's the exact same thing. I will say, too, it's refreshingly honest of Janet to make the distinction between her personal values and the party itself. Because I think there is a big difference. If you accepted a ton of money from one of the two political parties and you are in a nonpartisan position, yes, you should recuse yourself if one of the two political parties have a case that you are listening to, because it's obvious that you will have inherent bias. But if an outside organization that supports you because of your beliefs, right? The Democratic Party is not supporting Janet because she is nonpartisan. Again, it's a nonpartisan race. She's not affiliated with either party. Planned Parenthood is supporting Janet because the organization supports women's health and women's right to choose what to do with their own bodies, as does Janet. So if you are supporting a candidate based on similar values that you share rather than simply party affiliation, that's a completely different argument. And it's absolutely ridiculous to hear Dan Kelly try to compare these apples to oranges, especially when he's doing the exact same thing.
And there's a history of conservative candidates not recusing themselves from cases that come before the state's highest court during the Walker era. His former legal counsel, Rebecca Bradley, on the Wisconsin Supreme Court now, and had done past work with organizations working closely with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Rick Eisenberg was her mentor, essentially, and Will still brought lawsuits against the other things that they wanted. Will is suing everything here in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty uses lawsuits to try to do their bidding through the conservative courts in Wisconsin for years now. And Bradley never recused herself from cases that Will brought before the state's highest court. And so it's almost comical to think that Dan Kelly will be like, on a case-by-case basis, I'll recuse myself. I'll consider it. It's an individual's choice. But just vote for me. Vote for me for a 10-year term, and then I'll let you know, case by case, where I land.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. I'm Luke Mathers. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents, you can also share a tangent with us through the phone lines. Call or text 844-967-2789. Eli Lilly's got a new announcement. We're going to dive into that next, along with some of the inclusions or not inclusions for the biennial budget. Again, 844-967-2789 if you want to share a tangent. Dueling Tangents will be right back. So they say,
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
Whatever, I do what I want.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. Prosecutors want jurors to hold Alec Murdoch accountable for the deaths of his wife and son. Creighton Waters says he killed them to cover up financial trouble.
While he was outwardly giving the illusion of wealth and a very lucrative law practice, some bad land deals and that sort of thing, exacerbated by the economic recession, led to some financial problems.
A House panel is addressing the nation's fentanyl crisis and hearing testimonials now from people who've lost loved ones to the drug.
No family is immune to this danger. This could happen to your family. Fentanyl does not discriminate. It is a poison.
Some passengers have been snowed in at a Greyhound station in Sacramento for days. Barbara Frederick says it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. We're missing our families. We're missing our jobs. We're missing our homes and our animals.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants to spend $3.8 billion on building projects around Wisconsin. The plan gets its first consideration before the State Building Commission in 3 weeks. About half the proposed spending would go to the University of Wisconsin system. Ultimately, Evers' building budget needs to be approved by the Republican-controlled legislature, and history says he won't get it all. Lawmakers cut Evers' spending proposals on building projects in each of his last two budgets. Future tuition increases at the University of Wisconsin system would be tied to the rate of inflation under a bill in the legislature. The Board of Regents froze tuition for the current school year. Governor Evers says he hasn't read the bill. In sports, Marquette beat Butler last night to win the Big East Conference regular season title outright. The Bucks beat Brooklyn to go undefeated in February. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
And today was a day just like any other.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon. Wednesdays with Will, William Walter, Evan on the board, you on the phone lines or the text lines, whichever you prefer, 844-967-2789. And a quick update before we go over to this Eli Lilly story. Talking about the growing tab, this story may be for a little forgotten, easy to forget now, not in the headlines as often. Something that we discussed a lot because it was something the Republicans were doing to try to act like there was improprieties in our elections when really they were just upset they lost and they could not accept that. And Republicans here in Wisconsin, the state assembly, elected Republicans, including and led by Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, wrote a blank check to Michael Gableman, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, to go and run roughshod across the state and find the voter fraud that was out there. Never did. No report. went out in a fizzle because Gableman went behind Voss's back and endorsed his primary opponent and did the whole toss Voss movement. But J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics reporting earlier today that a Dane County judge has now required Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the state assembly to pay for the legal fees of the oversight organization, American Oversight, that was trying to get the open records into how that investigation slash probe was being conducted by the former Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin. And now the legal bill, up to $2.5 million. Wisconsin taxpayers have paid $2.5 million for a wild goose chase that went out in a fizzle. We never got a final report because there was nothing to report on, because there was no widespread legal fraud or legal vote fraud. I get into tizzy with this one with Michael Gableman. So him and Fred Prehn just are going to be 2022 and 2021 ghosts that will just haunt me. Like, they'll be triggering figures for me for a real long time.
You're going to wake up in a cold sweat in the apocalypse of the 2050s, and you're just going to be like, Michael Gableman!
Natural Resources Board!
And then the rest of the people living in the wasteland around you are going to be like, Luke, what is he talking buddy, you about? All right?
We'll talk about who else will be in that wasteland in the next segment with a very interesting story from our neighbors from the north. But that's just a tease for now. But one of the things that happened here in 2023, we'll talk about bingo cards a little bit here for the rest of the hour. One thing I did not have on my bingo card earlier in the year was the stock price for Eli Lilly dropping back when Elon Musk changed all the rules for what verification was on Twitter. Somebody created a Eli Lilly mock account, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the country, in the world. And they said that they were going to be making insulin free. I don't remember the exact quote of the tweet, Will, but it essentially was going to either cap the price of insulin or make it free for everyone. And all of a sudden, Eli Lilly's stock value plummeted. They lost billions of dollars in stock prices, and I didn't have that on my bingo card. I also didn't have it on my bingo card that Eli Lilly would just come out today now in reality and say we're capping insulin prices at $35. Are you shocked by this, Will, or is this something?
Yeah, I am shocked, but that's why public pressure is so important. That's why these type of, you know, I don't want to say stunts, because that generally implies like you're doing it with bad reasons, but these type of attention-bringing issues, such as, you know, price gouging of insulin, much necessary medication for millions and millions of Americans. What I had the number up here. I think it's like, according to the American Diabetes Association, roughly 8.4 million Americans depend on insulin to survive, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is something that quite literally millions of Americans are dependent on, and we're allowing a private entity to upcharge incredible percentages. In the situation with Eli Lilly, the price of Humalog, I believe it's pronounced, which is their most frequently prescribed insulin drug, will drop by 70% with the $35 per month price cap. You know, Bernie Sanders has been, of course, I always got to give Bernie a shout out, has been on the front line of this, pushing Eli Lilly, tweeting numerous times over the past couple months, taking any media appearance he can get to discuss Eli Lilly's increasing the price of insulin by over 1,200% since 1996, up to $275, while it costs less than $10 to manufacture. Absurd, absolutely absurd. And to finally see, you know, public pressure resulting in tangible results, man, it's heartwarming. It's the win that definitely gets my icy heart going a little bit amongst all these other incredibly negative news stories that we're forced to cover.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely a good story. It is shows that public pressure can work. This is something that, as you pointed out, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont had been calling for. The President of the United States, Joe Biden, called for it in his State of the Union address back in Was that early February or late January? I forget. Time is one of those flat circles now. But earlier
this year... Time's an illusion, Luke.
Yeah, it's an illusion. Earlier this year during the State of the Union, President Joe Biden called for it there as well. Last year, a bipartisan law capped insulin at $35 a month for Medicare patients. And so now this is going to affect, yeah, as you pointed out, 8.4 million Americans, roughly, that depend on insulin to survive, according to the American Diabetes Association. And so this will be transformative for a lot of individuals, and it shows that the government, along with the levers that it can pull, including applying public pressure through government officials, because this isn't... I truly believe that Congress should still come out and pass legislation that puts this into law and make sure that this isn't just the mercy of these corporations. Yes, this is good now, but there's nothing stopping Eli Lilly from being like, okay, a few years from now, they're going to crank it back up 70% and go back to the prices that they were as of late. And so there still can be action done on this to ensure that this is what happens with insulin here in the United States, because we are an outlying country when it comes to this. Other developed nations around the world have cheaper insulin and do not allow corporations to price gouge their citizens. But here, this is a good story and a good move for what is going on in America when it comes to healthcare.
Well, remember too, Luke, that Eli Lilly was faced a bipartisan pressure campaign from members of Congress, including a 2-year Senate probe of insulin prices that concluded in 2021. They are not doing this out of the good of their heart. They are doing this because they were facing pressure from lawmakers, and lawmakers are doing this because they were facing pressure from us. We have the power. Okay, this is a people powered nation. We just have to be able to unite behind these certain ideas that are popular. I went up and double checked it just because we mentioned it earlier. So we got to give a shout out to Sean Morrow, who's a writer for More Perfect Union. He's the one who created the fake account, which tweeted November 10th of 2022. So this was still really, really recent. We are excited to announce insulin is free now. That's it. That was the tweet. Short, sweet, and to the point. Cost Eli Lilly billions of dollars in stock prices essentially overnight. And now, due to the public pressure faced from that Eli is dealing with because of all of us, because of us regular people who have had enough, they are capping insulin prices at $35. I think as well, we have to note that monopolization of the industry has kind of led to a point where three drug makers, according to the ADA, Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi, dominate the insulin market, with 3 out of 10 people with diabetes relying on insulin use from Eli Lilly exclusively. So these companies have immense, immense power, but we the people do as well. Political pressure works, and we can do this across the board. We can do this with other policies. We just have to be able to present a united front.
Yeah, and it will be transformative to that marketplace as well. With the I'm sure those other competitors of Eli Lilly providing insulin are going to have to make similar action and take similar steps to be able to continue to stay competitive, because that's... Competition is supposed to breed capitalism, and so capitalism is...
Innovation, right?
Yes. Competition breeds innovation, but capitalism requires competition as well. You can't have three individual companies having that large of a share of the market and then just all agree, hey, we're going to keep prices around 110. As long as you promise to do it, we'll do it. But now that Medicare is offering insulin price caps at $35 a month, Eli Lilly is going to have to take those steps too, and that's what they announced today. So it is.
Well, and Mark Cuban's company as well. There are other entities getting into this industry, recognizing that the monopolization we're facing today is a long term problem.
Yeah, and so it is definitely a good story to see that calling for things, advocating for them, and using public pressure works. And another instance where that public pressure may be working here in Wisconsin, Will, is Republicans seem to be backtracking. Republican lawmakers seem to be backtracking their stance on the flat tax. You know, that really unpopular opinion that got floated last fall during the gubernatorial election
cycle? Is that
cycle?
The one that the candidate for governor left about 3 days after saying it because his polling numbers absolutely tanked when he suggested it. Is that the policy you're speaking of?
The one that he said, I just said that I may be open to it. It's not my policy. Don't tie me to that proposal. It's not mine. Even though Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels was like, yeah, I would be open to learning more about a flat tax and seeing if we could implement that here in Wisconsin if I were to become governor. And so Republicans then acted like, oh, it's terrible to try to tie us to that proposal. We would never do that. And then State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, the start of this year, essentially was like, oh, well, we're going to try to pursue a flat tax here in Wisconsin. That's what we're going to do. And really reading the room real well, except according to the individual sitting on the Joint Finance Committee that is responsible for writing the budget, seems like it's not going to be included in this upcoming 2-year biennial budget. Well, it's a long-term goal. This isn't something we can do now. This is something
we didn't mean that we were going to implement it immediately, guys. Why are you going to hold us to our words? Like, come on, that's not fair.
And so we got a piece over at WPR.org written up by Sean Johnson. GOP lawmakers say, quote, flat tax unlikely in state budget. The Republican co-chairs of the legislature's budget committee said Tuesday that they do not expect to pass a flat tax as a part of the next state budget, an idea pushed for months by a top GOP leader. While not entirely unexpected, the comments mean lawmakers could sidestep at least one big conflict with Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who has called the idea of a flat tax, quote, a poison pill for the budget. So some good news there as well. Letting lawmakers know how unpopular their unpopular opinion is working, Will.
First time for everything, but hey, well, second time actually, because I worked with Eli Lilly now too. So maybe the times are changing. I don't know. Like, you're usually the optimist, and I'm usually the you would call it a pessimist. I call it a realist. But these are very important first steps, and it's really nice to, you know, all jokes aside, it's really nice to be able to see the people having some influence in the legislative process at this point.
Yeah, the fact that there were some individuals, and I don't know if it was necessarily the leaders in the Wisconsin legislature, that indicated they're ready to do some bipartisan compromises with the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, after he was elected pretty decisively to a second term. It's good to see that these quote-unquote poison pills are not being forced into the first drafts of the budget. It's not what Wisconsinites want from their government, and it's I'm glad to see that there's already kind of a, no, we're looking for compromise. This isn't, maybe this dumb idea will be something that we'll pursue later down the road. We're not going to rule it out altogether, but for right now, we're not going to seek this really dumb idea.
You know, remember too, this would have reduced the tax revenue by an estimated $5 billion per year, essentially eradicating the entire budget surplus.
Oh yeah, the fiscal conservatism is long gone, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. If you want to share a tangent with us, one more segment left in the day, 844-967-2789. You can call or text Dueling Tangents. Cross Civic Media. We'll be right back.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 29 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts, give me the hook to go on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday by William Walter.
On a Wednesday.
Are you ready? Are you ready to head into the jungle, Will?
Welcome.
Because we alluded to this. Another thing here, we're going to chalk this up as something that was not on our 2023 bingo cards. And something that's getting pretty scary out there in the jungle. Because we've got some reporting over at The Guardian that is talking about a genetically modified super pig. And, Will, do you think that they're going to be able to take over the entire planet or just Canada or all of North America? How do you think this ends?
It's incredibly intelligent, highly elusive. This beast is capable of surviving cold climates. It can kill deer and elk up to 660 pounds. I think this is step one to man bear pig, frankly. First, it's a super pig. Next thing you know, it's a half man, half bear, half pig ravaging our countrysides. Like, man, we're in trouble.
But there was only one man bear pig. This is an invasive species that is causing problems. And for the folks that are unaware of the headline over at The Guardian, incredibly intelligent, highly elusive, U.S. faces new threat from Canadian super pig. Northern states on alert for invasion of crossbred pig that threatens flora and fauna, and it's difficult to stop. So, we've had the zebra mollusks in Lake Michigan, in the Great Lakes. We're keeping an eye out for Asian carp in both the Mississippi River and the Great Lakes. Invasive species is not something new to Wisconsin, but a genetically modified super pig, like... Will, this is insane.
Somebody call Spider Pig because we are in trouble. Have you seen the estimates on this? Nearly 6 million wild or feral pigs causing $1.5 billion of damage each year.
Yeah.
What?
And that is reading for the piece. This is insane to think about. But here, let's read a couple of the quotes from the individuals tasked with trying to reel in this problem. We see direct competition for our native species for food, said Michael Marlowe, assistant program manager for the Department of Agriculture's National Feral Swine Damage Management Program. I did not know that was a national management program.
Terrifying. The fact that that even exists is terrifying.
The fact that is not a made-up entity from a movie, like, that is pretty incredible to think. However, pigs, just reading back at the piece, pigs are also accomplished predators. They'll opportunistically come upon a hidden animal, and the males have long tusks, so they're very capable of running and grabbing one with their mouth. They'll kill young fawns. They're known
to nest predators so they'll impact turkeys and potential quail. Like, this is wild. And again, not native to North America, so therefore they're you have problems with invasive species like genetically modified super pigs that there's no predator to take them out. So
now it gets worse, Luke. They're responsible for a laundry list of environmental damages.
Yeah.
Eating crops, destroying trees, polluting water. And that's not considering the fact that they're capable of carrying viruses. They are a, quote, mixing vessel, according to the article. And they're capable of carrying viruses such as the flu, which are transmittable to humans. This could potentially create a novel influenza virus, which could spread to humankind. Are we familiar with any kind of novel virus that has recently spread? I don't know. Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Swine flu 2028. I'm very worried. Swine flu 2028.
Yeah. Do you remember the first swine flu?
Yeah, I do.
A couple years ago?
Yeah.
That's the sickest I have ever been in my life. I missed an entire week of school.
I never contracted the swine flu, but I do recall it. It was that, and you had the bird flu back in what, 08? COVID-19 from an animal is a zoological virus, and yeah, it's pretty terrifying to think that there are now Canadian super pigs that are potentially going to threaten our environment. Will, I did not have this on my 2023 bingo card. I didn't have it on there, which is stupid because the only thing this made me think of is the cocaine hippos. Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos. It was a story that Brian and I talked about when it started becoming more and more of a thing. The hippos that were let out of the compound down in Colombia. The fact that there was no natural predators to hinder them from repopulating, and now there's hundreds of hippos in South America in a place where they're not supposed to be, and pigs and hippos relatives in the animal kingdom. And so it is wild to think that we have now on our 2023 bingo card. If you have a bingo, please let us know, 844-967-2789, but this is not one that I had on my bingo card.
I got another quote for you, Luke, from Ryan Brook, who leads the University of Saskatchewan's Canadian Wild Pig Research Project. That's another mouthful. I love that. I had to do that introduction because that was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Wild pigs are easily the worst invasive large mammal on the planet. They're incredibly intelligent. They're highly elusive. And also, when there's any pressure on them, especially if people start hunting them, they become almost completely nocturnal and they become very elusive, hiding in heavy forest coverage and disappearing into wetlands so they can be very hard to locate. Dude, it's going to be like 2050 and you're going to wake up in a cold sweat screaming Michael Gableman's name and you're going to look outside and it's going to be like the Terminator Revolution movie where a bunch of pigs and like heavily armored pigs are like walking down the street patrolling for any loose human. They can catch, like, forget the T-1000s. We just got to worry about these super pigs.
This is the quote that I got a kick out of earlier, too. All the experts said at the same time, well, no worries if a wild pig or wild boar ever escaped from a farm. There's no way it would survive a Western Canadian winter. It would just freeze to death. Well, it turns out that being big is a huge advantage to surviving the cold. So these super pigs escaped, survived the cold, and now they're repopulating across Canada and possibly North America. So, folks,
I mean, this article is full of great quotes. That quote you just gave on, don't worry about it escaping. There's no way it could survive. That's the first scene of the movie, right? And then it pans to this pig, this like massive hog digging down a few feet under the snowy ground, building a new habitat. And then they emerge 5 years later like a locust swarm to take over the countryside.
Yeah, it is remarkable that these super pigs now are something that here in 2023 we're going to have to keep an eye on. There's so much more over at the article. Go over to The Guardian, check it out. Again, there's highly elusive super pigs. Now got to be keeping your head out on a swivel when you're out there in the jungle. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Really want to thank William Walter for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. Click on the show tabs. You'll go down to Dueling Tangents. You can see this episode later today, along with all past episodes of Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. to cover the Wisconsin airwaves at that time. Talk to you all then. Thanks again, Will.
Peace out, party people.
It's gonna bring you down.
from the Dairy State. It's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.